Let us pray. O Lord God, we have no words adequate to the task of expressing how blessed we feel this day as we come together for worship. We look around us and see sisters and brothers, people who share our faith and who have shared our joys and sorrows. We look at the cross and see a symbol of your commitment to our salvation and your amazing, amazing grace. We look in the Bible and see that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that you search for us when we are lost, and that you celebrate with the angels when we are found. Help us, Lord. Help us find ways to express our gratitude to you and to others. Help us bless the world with our words and deeds. Help us share the gospel of your love and welcome those who respond to it. Lord, we know we live in a troubled world. We have taken the creation you gave us and treated it carelessly. Now there is disorder where you created order. There is discord where you created harmony. There is filth where you created purity. And there is ugliness where you created beauty. Forgive us, we pray, for our part in the destruction of what you have made. And deliver us from the evil that we ourselves have let loose upon the earth. Discourage those who wage war so they might become willing to consider other ways to establish justice. Calm those who rage. Defeat those who seek to control others through abuse. And confront those who claim to speak for you, yet spew words of hate. Help us see as heroes those who work quietly for the good of others, creatively addressing perennial problems like hunger and disease. Bless with energy and insight those who are working to help the world avoid the catastrophe of a pandemic. Sustain those who are still working to repair damage done in places that have now faded from the front page. We ask your blessings upon our government, national, state, and local. Be with our leaders and give them wisdom and insight that they may help this world. And now, Lord, be with us as we turn to your word with hope. May we not be disappointed or go away hungry from this spiritual feast, for we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Well, I have the scripture reading. Today's scripture is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and to the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, but which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them, as a son of man that you care for him? You made them little, lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is subject to them. Yet at present, we don't see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises."
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you stepping in. You may have noticed she's not Tammy. She did a wonderful job stepping in. I want to thank our choir for a beautiful anthem, and Troy and Lisa for that wonderful skit, horsing around, asking people to pony up support to express their love for the church. That was very good. Roger, you told me to say that. I don't know what to say, but in our scripture today, I'd like for you to think about a few things. As always, anytime we have scripture, there is a lot of meat in this scripture. And one of the things that I thought of as I read it is, have you ever had a moment of deja vu? You know, felt like you'd been somewhere before, but you knew you never had. It's a crazy feeling, but some researchers are now saying, they're actually saying, that it's possible that our minds travel in our sleep. And it is this mind travel that creates deja vu. But what if it is because we are a little lower than angels? Almost. We're just almost. We're a little lower than angels. Our scripture tells us that we are a little lower than angels. And this being the case, what is the difference between us and angels? Some of you can probably answer that right off. What our difference is. Our scripture is very clear that we are almost, we're just a little lower than angels. The difference is that our inability to live forever, would that be the difference? Or maybe it's our inability to fly. Or could it be that we are constantly complaining about our station in life, where an angel is content? Or is it that we are constantly questioning and asking why? What does make us different than angels? A man walking on the beach was in deep prayer. Then God spoke to him, saying, because he had always been faithful, one wish would be granted to him. The man said he wanted a bridge to Hawaii so he could drive there. God said, his materialistic wish was too difficult and it would take too many natural resources and he should think of another wish. The man thought for a time, then said he wished he could understand his wife, know her feelings, what she wants, and why she gives him the silent treatment and then says nothing is wrong. The Lord thought about this and then replied, you want two lanes or four lanes on that bridge? We do question much of what is in our lives. We do wonder why things work the way they do, why things happen the way they do, why God does or does not do what we think he should do. I wonder if angels do that. I don't think so. I think that would be a huge difference for us, is that we question. And at times, we are very prideful. We feel we do know everything, or at least everything we need to know. At times, we become cocky and self-assured, even arrogant, until we find that such is not the case. You know, believing that God crowned us with glory and honor and put everything under our feet, literally. Kind of reminds me of the line. I don't know if you've heard this one. There was a lion that was proud of his mastery of the animal kingdom. One day he decided to make sure all other animals knew he was the king of the jungle. He was so confident that he bypassed the smaller animals and went straight to the bear. "Who is the king of the jungle?" the lion asked. The bear replied, "Why, you are, of course." The lion gave a mighty roar of approval. Next, he asked the tiger, "Who is the king of the jungle?" The tiger quickly responded, "Everyone knows that you are, mighty lion." Next on the list was the elephant. The lion faced the elephant and addressed his question, "Who is the king of the jungle?" The elephant immediately grabbed the lion with his trunk, whirled him around in the air 5 or 6 times, and slammed him into a tree. Then he pounded him into the ground several times, dunked him underwater in a nearby lake, and finally dumped him out on the shore. The lion, beaten, battered, and bruised, struggled to his feet. He looked at the elephant through sad and bloody eyes and said, "Look, just because you don't know the answer is no reason to get mean about it." Arrogance. Sometimes we're like that lion. We want to go around to nature and say, "Don't you know, we're humans. We're in charge. We're in control. We can do it all." But such is not the case. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, this is in our scripture. Lisa read this. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. This is a rather important part of the passage. At present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus. See that? Almost. We're almost like angels. But at present, not everything is subject to us. And what is it Jesus did? He suffered death so by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Some of us do not focus on Jesus' suffering death for us. Do we? Our focus tends to be more on his resurrection. And this focus does bring comfort. In fact, for some, it may even add a little fear and trepidation to think of the resurrection. Well, like it did for the man, his wife, and his mother-in-law who went on vacation to the Holy Land. While they were there, the mother-in-law passed away. The undertaker told them, "You can have her shipped home for $5,000, or you can bury her here in the Holy Land for $150. The man thought about it and told him he would just have her shipped home. The undertaker asked, "Why would you spend $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when it would be wonderful to have her buried here in the Holy Land and spend only $150? The man replied, "A man died here 2,000 years ago, was buried here, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. I just can't take that chance." The writer of Hebrews wants us to know that we are almost angels. That God has blessed us in so many ways that we have much of His creation under our feet, but not everything. Not everything is under our feet. We are conquering diseases that once were thought to be unconquerable. We are performing surgeries, growing and replacing organs that we never thought possible. We have traveled to the moon and sent satellites to the far reaches of the universe. And we are fighting wars with weapons far beyond anything used in history before. What is humankind that God is mindful of us? A son of man that God cares for. He has made us a little lower than the angels. He crowned us with glory and honor and put everything under our feet. But we must keep in mind, at present, we do not see everything. What should we glean from this scripture? That we are in charge of the earth? That we are in charge of anything? That we are in charge of our destiny? Maybe this verse will help. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. Did you catch that when Lisa read it? It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. In an earlier century, there lay a large boulder in the middle of the road. Traveler after traveler walked past the boulder, veering off the side of the road to get around it. All the while, they were shaking their heads and muttering, "Can you believe that? Someone should get that big thing out of the way. What an inconvenience." Finally, a man came along and, seeing the boulder, took a branch from a tree and pried the boulder enough to get it rolling and rolled it off to the side of the road. Lying underneath the rock, he found a small bag with a note. The man picked up the note and read it. It read as follows: "Thank you for being a true servant of the kingdom. Many have passed this way and complained because of the state of the problem and spoken of what ought to be done. But you have taken the responsibility upon yourself to serve the kingdom instead. You are the type of citizen we need more of in this kingdom. Please accept this bag of gold that traveler after traveler have walked by simply because they didn't care enough about the kingdom to serve." I wonder what boulders we need to move and what bags of gold we're missing each day simply because we don't bother to get involved in serving the kingdom. Are we the type of citizens our Father needs more of? Or are we almost? In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises." Are we going to get involved? That's really what was being asked of our Pony Express. How involved are we in furthering the kingdom? A friend decided to talk to her bright 8-year-old son, Benji, about receiving Christ. "Benji," she said quietly, "would you like to have Jesus in your heart?" Benji thought for a few minutes and then, rolling his blue eyes, answered, "No, I don't think I want the responsibility." Benji realized what many Christians still have not figured out, that although salvation is free, it comes with a natural outgrowth of our relationship with Christ. What's the outgrowth? It's service. If we are truly in relationship with our Lord, we will naturally serve. Not almost serve. Not walk around the boulder. We'll move the boulder. Because we will serve. Are you serving the Lord? Next Sunday, our Pony Express begins full force. We will be asked to serve our Lord with our prayers, presents, and gifts. My prayer is that we're all going to be boulder movers. That we're all going to come up to the plate and say, "Let's move these boulders that have been keeping us from doing a greater ministry," and provide something, whether it be our prayers, our presence, our service, our money, to make it happen. May we be the people who move the boulders and find the gold. And the gold, my friends, is serving our Lord. It is service. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you today realizing that many times we walk around the boulders in our life. We say that we don't have the time, or we don't have the money, or We don't even want to pray because we've given up. Please reach into our hearts and strengthen us. Please reach into our minds and give us courage, that we may go forth and do your work and say, yes, I will serve. I will serve. I'm not almost a servant. I am a servant. Amen.